Dr. Maya Angelou is one of the most renowned and influential voices of our time. A global Renaissance woman, she is a celebrated poet, novelist, educator, dramatist, actress, historian, filmmaker, and civil rights activist. Born in 1928 in St. Louis, Missouri, Dr. Angelou was raised in St. Louis and in Stamps, Arkansas. It was here she experienced the brutality of racial discrimination, but also absorbed the faith and values of a traditional African-American family, community, and culture. As a teen, Dr. Angelou's love for arts won her a scholarship to study dance and drama. At 14, she dropped out to become San Francisco's first African-American female cable car conductor. She later finished high school, gave birth to her son Guy just a few weeks after graduation. As a young single mother, she supported her son by working as a waitress and cook, but her passion for music, dance, and poetry would soon take center stage. In the mid-50s, Dr. Angelou toured Europe with a production of Porgy and Bess. She studied modern dance with Martha Graham, danced with Alvin Ailey, and in 1957 recorded her first album, Calypso Lady. In 1958, she moved to New York, where she joined the Harlem Writers Guild and wrote and performed Cabaret for Freedom. During her years abroad, Dr. Angelou studied voraciously, mastering French, Spanish, Italian, Arabic, and the West African language Fanti. While in Ghana, she met with Malcolm X and in 1964 returned to the U.S. to help him build his Organization of African American Unity. After Malcolm X's assassination, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. asked Dr. Angelou to serve as a Northern coordinator for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. With the guidance of her friend, the novelist James Baldwin, she began work on the book that became I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. The list of her published verse, nonfiction, and fiction now includes more than 30 bestsellers. She also wrote the screenplay and composed the score for the 1972 film Georgia, Georgia. Her script, the first by an African-American woman ever to be filmed, was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. Dr. Angelou was awarded the Presidential Medal of Arts in 2000 and has received 3 Grammys. President Clinton requested that she compose a poem to read at his inauguration in 1993. Today, we'll speak with Dr. Angelou about her new book, Mom and Me and Mom. Welcome, Dr. Angelou. It's such an honor to have you with us on the Book Report.
I'm delighted to be here.
Why the title, Mom and Me and Mom?
Well, because the book is really about my mother and her impact on me. That I had to explain something about her first, who she was, how she got to be that way, and then her influence on me, and then mine, subsequently, on her. So she was a fabulous woman, so frightening to me at first.
All right. What made you decide to call your mother Lady?
Well, at 3 years old, and my brother was 5 and I 3, then my mother and father found they didn't like each other. And so they separated, but neither of them wanted the toddlers. So they sent us off to Stamps, Arkansas, to my father's mother. And Mama, which is what we called her, Mama, looked after us kindly. She was a devout Christian. She spoke very softly. And in fact, she in our house, you couldn't say hot dog, because grandmother said that was a way of cursing. And we couldn't say, by the way, because she said Jesus was the way, the truth, and the light. And if we said, by the way, we were saying, by Jesus, and she wouldn't have that in her house. But she was very kind. She never once kissed me in 10 years of living with her. But she was so proud of me. She would have visitors over and then call me out and asked me to take off my shirt. And then she'd stroke my arms, and she asked, have you ever seen an arm prettier than this? Mm-hmm. Straight as a plank, brown and smooth as peanut butter. This is my little professor. She was so proud. So I was with her. And then at 13, I was taken back to visit my mother, or to live with my mother in California. And my mother wore lipstick, bright red lipstick, and tap danced and cursed. And I hardly knew what to say to her. So she wanted me to call her mother, and I couldn't. And she asked, why not? I said, you don't look like a mother. She asked, well, what do you want to call me? She said, you have to address me as something. So I said, I'd like to call her lady, because she's very pretty. She looked like a lady. And she acted like ladies I'd read about in books. So she said, all right, I'll be a lady. I'll be a lady. And she introduced herself to her friends. She said, my baby doesn't want to call me mother, so she's going to call me lady. So I want everybody to call me lady. I liked her for that.
Well, she certainly was an amazing woman. Your mother taught you about power and determination. Is that what you want mothers and daughters to take away from your book?
Well, no, not just that. I'd like to remind mothers and fathers that children need to know that their parents are on their side, not on the side of the principal or the teacher or the preacher, not on the side of the policeman or the judge or the shop owner, but really the child needs to know, my father, my mother has my back. Now, if you protect the child and show your protection in public, when you get home, you can chastise the child if he's been wrong or right. But he needs to know that there is someone who loves him. If the child is to develop any self-esteem, and if without self-esteem, he and she are vulnerable to every bad wind circling around them. So a child needs the patience of a parent, and the love and the laughter of a parent. You'd be surprised how that heals. That love heals what the larger society may be offering as injury. I talk about love as healing. Not mush, not sentimentality, not indulgence. No, really love.
Yes. And you also wrote in your book, which I think applies to all mothers, that a mother stands in the gap between the unknown and the known.
That's right.
Yeah.
I realized that only when my mother died, and I was already 60 years old, or there, well, 50 anyway, and I realized that she just figuratively stood in the gap between me and the unknown. And with her going, I became it. I stood in the gap, and I still do. I'm the matriarch of the family.
Yes. You know, in the book, Mom and Me and Mom, I learned a great deal about your life. For example, share a little bit about Rita the Dancing Senorita.
Oh, I sang Porgy and Bess. I was the first dancer with Porgy and Bess, the premier dancers. And I sang the role Ruby, which was Sporting Life's girlfriend. It wasn't much, but I sang it. And I wasn't trained as a singer. I was trained as a dancer. So, but I got away with it. Although every night one or the other of the opera singers would say to me, Mario, I'm sorry, but you flatted that G. Are you sharp to that A? I didn't even know I was singing in the alphabet. But anyway, I learned a lot about music, singing with them, and I write music occasionally today with some famous singers, and I'm having a wonderful life.
Yes. Talk a little bit about the resurgence of poetry. Everybody is having open mic night. There's poetry festivals all across the United States. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'm happy to say there are some people who accord me with the credit of having reintroduced poetry by having written the poem for President Clinton's inauguration. Also, the United Nations asked me after that to write a poem for the 50th anniversary of the founding of United Nations. I write poetry and encourage people to read and write poetry. Sometimes you can get the handle on how you really feel by finding the essence of your experience and putting it down as poetry.
Yes. And I don't think most people know that you've also written some books about food, Hallelujah, The Welcome Table, and Great Food All Day Long.
Yes, serious. I'm a serious cook. I'm not a chef. A chef has to appeal to various tastes and at people's orders. But I'm a serious cook. I respect the ingredients.
Yes.
I respect what fire will do with them when they're mixed together. And I respect the people who will eat the finished product. So I'm a serious cook. And people come from far and wide to eat my food, and I'm glad about that. My grandmother, I told me, I guess 500 times, they say you have only so many teachable moments. My grandmother caught me at every one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Sister, when you get, give. When you learn, teach. That will take you all over the world." And I would say that to any young person, black ones, white ones, Asians, Spanish people, fat ones, thin ones, pretty ones, plain ones, gay ones, straight ones. When you learn, teach. And when you get, give.
Hmm.
And you know the difference between right and wrong. Do right.
Yes.
It may not always be comfortable, but do it. You'll be pleased with yourself after, and before you know it, others will be pleased with you.
Hmm. Well, after your book tour with Mom and Me and Mom, what other projects are you working on now?
Oh, I seem to work all the time.
Mm.
And that's not a complaint. That's just a report. I'll be back writing some poetry.
All right.
Trying to, and some music.
Mm.
I like country music a lot. And so I've been writing some music for some of the country singers. And I write with Mr. Quincy Jones sometimes. And I've written with Miss Roberta Flack. And, of course, Valerie Simpson.
Is there something else you want to talk about that we haven't covered?
Well, always I do ask and encourage young men and women to be grateful. Try to develop an attitude of gratitude. Look around you. You know that saying, and I felt sorry for myself that I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet.
Mm.
Please look around and see how blessed you are.
All right.
And once you do that, bless somebody else.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
It was an honor to speak with you. Thank you, Dr. Angelou.